Log Talk Radio.
Amen. I hope you all have a blessed day.
that I have. Amen. Well, let's open up our prayer here. Lord God, we turn to you for you are our help. Hear our prayer. Beseech you. Let our cries rise to you so that you may send your mighty help in our generation. Continue to protect us from all evil, from death and destruction. Protect us because we are your children. As your children, we turn to you, the Almighty God, who can make everything work together for good. Be merciful to us, O Lord God. Help us for your name's sake. Help, Lord, for you alone can bring everything to a good end. So we stand before you in Jesus Christ, holding to every word you have given us, and knowing for certain that you hear us. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, I see we have a caller already with his hands up. So I'm going to take it and see who we have. 111, you're on air.
Hello there. This is Timothy Thatcher. How are you doing today, Pastor?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Timothy?
I wanted to ask you, what song is that, the intro to the show? What song is that?
That is Flight to the Angels by Slaughter.
By Slaughter?
Yeah, by Slaughter.
Is that a Christian group?
Well, not really, okay, but they have put out some songs that are Christian aligned.
I see. Well, that's Slaughter. I just let you go on with your show. Just wanted to know the song.
Okay, God bless you.
I'll be here on the show. Right. Don't put me on. Don't hang up on me.
Oh, I won't. I'm just going to put you on mute so you can listen to the show.
Thank you.
God bless you. All right. We got another caller here. Let's take it to who we have. 111, you're on air.
Yeah, I wanted to say in 1996, I was molested as a child, and they used to play that song by Slaughter. So it triggers me. Can you stop playing it?
Well, yeah, it's not going to play anymore.
Ever?
No, I can't say ever. It's my intro song.
But it triggers me and brings a lot of bad memories to me.
Oh, sorry about that.
So will you stop it?
I'll try.
How? How do you try? You either do it or you don't.
Well, you know, sometimes it takes a day or two to drop off my list.
Okay, I'll call you back in a day or two if it's still on there.
Okay.
Thank you for trying.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
All right. Okay, put you on mute. We got one more caller here. One, you're on air.
That man that just called, I remember that voice. Did you catch his name?
No, I didn't.
I think that's Willie Winthrop. I think when he was a kid, he's talking about he was molested or something like that?
No, he said he got in trouble and he was in jail, and the song brings back bad memories.
Oh, okay. I think, it brought me back memories. Not going to say what I did, but it brought me back memories.
All right.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, sir. God bless. Okay. Let's get into tonight's sermon. Okay, it's, okay, hold on a second. It's titled, Get Your Righteousness Right. Okay, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. So when you think about those words, righteousness, one of the first thoughts that come to mind is being or doing things correctly. The American Heritage Dictionary defines the word righteous, the root word for righteousness, as being morally upright or just. When you examine the word righteousness from the text in the original Greek, you find it is defined as equity, a state of being just, impartial, and fair, a character or act specifically Christian. So one of the problems in our society today is that, generally speaking, people don't have any morals anymore because we've been brought into the mindset and idea that it's all about me. I can do what I want to do. You don't have the right to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. And you do what you want to do. And I'll do what I want to do. I don't know if you caught it, but the word I seem to be a focal point of each of those statements. Few examples of this can be found in recent headlines. On the East Coast, former U.S. Representative Anthony Weiner was accused and admitted to sending inappropriate pictures and text messages to upwards of 10 women, yet he still wanted to be mayor of New York City. In Cleveland, Ohio, Ariel Castro kidnapped and raped 3 women over a period of 10 years, caused one of them to miscarry several pregnancies, but blames everything on his so-called addiction. In San Diego, former Mayor Bob Villner had been accused of inappropriate behavior against women and staff personnel, admitted his behavior was not appropriate, decided to admit himself into an intensive 2-week therapy rehab program in an effort to correct many years of inappropriate behavior. Yet he was very reluctant to resign or step down from office. What I see in all those cases are acts of selfishness, with no regard for others or how their actions may affect other people. When I look at our selected text, I find that Jesus is trying to get us to take a very good, close, and hard look at ourselves to see if we are conducting ourselves in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Now, let's understand something here. Our righteousness, according to Isaiah 64, verse 6, says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So our righteousness makes a turn for the better when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior and take on his righteousness. This gives us a moral compass and gives us direction on how to live a righteous life. What I'm trying to say is, if you don't know Jesus, get your righteousness right. If you don't know Jesus, but want to do your own thing and not appropriate obedience in his will and word, get your righteousness right. So Jesus starts off in verse 19 talking about breaking the least of the commandments. What he's referring to here is God gave his 10 commandments in Exodus 20, which were his requirements for living a righteous and holy life. The rabbis and religious leaders took those same 10 and turned them into 613, which made it extremely difficult to keep and abide by. One of the things they also did was assert that some of the commandments were weightier than others, but that's not how God sees it. Here's my point. With God, sin is sin is sin, and none carries more weight than others. For example, a lie carries the same weight as a murder in the sight of God, because with him, sin is sin, sin is sin. The problem is that people were justifying their actions, calling them acceptable, and teaching others that it's all right to do those things. In today's society, we have a tendency of saying, well, I can't do everything that needs to be done, but God knows my heart. The reality of it all is that he does know our hearts and knows when we can do better. When we're doing the bare minimum or don't want to do better, God is not looking for excuses. He's looking for obedience, especially from those who are called the household of faith. We should never shirk our responsibilities to teach others how to live righteously, because the scripture teaches us in Luke 12, verses 48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be required, and to whom men have committed too much of him, they will ask the more. So we have the responsibility to share with others what we have learned regarding eternal life. I've said before that this gospel we have will do us no good if we keep it to ourselves. It's a giveaway gospel, and the more we do so, the more the Lord will replenish it in our lives. The Lord further goes on to deal with the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom that will be established when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ will come and set up his literally earthly kingdom that will last forever. My question before you today is, do you want to be counted as least or greater in the kingdom of heaven? Well, so let's take a few minutes to talk about getting your righteousness right. We can't be religious. The Pharisees were so focused on keeping the letter of the law, they missed the spirit of the law. Their keeping of the law actually put people in bondage rather than setting people free. What they wanted more than anything else is to be seen of men doing acts of righteousness, but it was only for their individual benefits and not the kingdom's glory. The preacher's outline in the Sermon Bible says here, the religionists, the Pharisees, and the scribes had some righteousness. They just did not have enough. They were, in fact, strict religionists. They worked at obeying thousands and thousands of rules and regulations, governing everything ranging from dress and social behavior to ministry and work. However, they lacked the one essential, loving God so much that they would deny themselves and seek their righteousness in his Son, Jesus Christ. They looked the part, they talked the part, they gave the impression they were living the part, but they missed the mark by focusing on themselves and not on God. Even in our society today, there are some who feel that going to worship Sunday after Sunday is being obedient to God. Here's the problem. We can go to worship or do many things religiously, but when we arrive, we are really fulfilling the spirit of the law. We are made to give God glory, and evidence of this found in Isaiah 43:7, which says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yeah, I have made him. We are taught that God is looking for the true worshipers. In John chapter 4, verse 24, we find that God is a spirit, and that to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't be religious as the Pharisees were, and therefore, when we break the threshold of the house of the Lord, our minds should be made up to give God the glory that is due his name, because God knows our hearts. We must live righteous. This has a lot to do with not just what people see of us, but more importantly, what God sees when nobody else is watching. You see, it's easy to leave righteousness in front of the people, go about doing good, helping people, being seen doing good acts of kindness, saying the right things at the right time. But what about your motives? God never intended that we give the impression of being good or righteous, but expected us to live in it daily. Again, the preacher's outline in the Sermon Bible says, some feel they must do good to be acceptable to God. The motive in life is to work and work and doing it good in order to secure God's acceptance. But they never learn the truth, that they cannot do enough good to be perfectly accepted to God. They must trust his love, that he loves them so that much that he will take their trust and count it as righteousness. So when we think about this quote, we must come to the understanding that we cannot work for our salvation because of what Jesus is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by the grace we are saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of the works, lest any man should boast. So how do we live righteously? Well, let's see what the Bible says, has to say about that. We've got to know God. In Exodus 3, verse 6, we find, wherever he said, I am the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So we got to know God's word in Joshua 1:8. We find, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for there shall make them prosperous, and then shall have good success. So we've got to know how to worship God. In Psalms chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, we find, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shoot forth all the marvelous works. We've got to love God. And in Psalms 18, verse 1, we find that I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. We've got to trust God. In Psalms chapter 71, verse 1, we find that in thee, O Lord, I do put my trust. Let me never put to confusion. So we got to love one another. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Therefore, is none other commandment. So, if we want to get our righteousness right, we've got to get right with Jesus. He is the end of all that pertains to righteousness. And Romans 10:4 tells us, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Paul makes that statement because Christ is the one from whom we can receive our righteousness. So let me tell you what righteousness did for us. Righteousness put on human flesh. Righteousness came down through 40 and two generations. Righteousness was born of a virgin. Righteousness was found in a manger. Righteousness consulted religious leaders with great knowledge at a very young age. Righteousness healed a blind man. Righteousness healed a man with withered hand. Righteousness was betrayed by a kiss. Righteousness was falsely accused. Righteousness was condemned to die. Righteousness was placed on a cross. Righteousness was pierced in his side. Righteousness died on the cross. Righteousness was placed in a borrowed tomb.
Okay.
And righteousness got up early Sunday morning. Amen. And I hope this sermon about righteousness hits home with you all. Amen. All right. Now we're going to get... No, I'll delay that and play a couple songs, and then we'll go into the Bible study for tonight. Amen. Okay. Let's play a couple songs here. All right. Okay. Here we go. We're going to play one of the Spirit of the Lord by Fred Hammond and Radical for Christ, Hosanna by Kirk Franklin, and Let Your Power Fall by Dion Kippen. Here we go. Thank you.
me hear you make some Holy Ghost crazy noise right now. Let me hear. Come on, Mike. Do them like this. Do them like this.
He humbly approached his father, asking if he could be a servant. But some believed that he had sin so badly that the only way his father would accept him back was in a working capacity. So he said to his father, in Luke chapter 13, verse 18, verse 19, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. There are three things that the prodigal son did in this parable that we can learn from. He accepted responsibility for his actions. He turned away, repented from his sins, and he returned to his father. What next happens in this parable shows us that God is filled with joy every time somebody repents of their sins. It also shows us that there are no sins too big for our fathers to forgive if we repent and turn away from them, except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 13, verse 20 to 24, so he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way up, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, for I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer are we worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. Kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. So let's conclude. God is full of mercy and compassion. If we have given in to sin and gotten lost along the way, we should take comfort in knowing that God is waiting for us to return to him with open arms. In the same way the prodigal son's father rejoiced when he repented and returned, the heavens rejoice over every soul that repents and returns to God. So we wind today's lesson with the following scripture from Peter's second epistle. It shows the patience of God and how he's waiting for us all will make a soul-saving decision to repent of our sins and live a life focused on him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing for any perish, but for all to come to repentance. Amen. I hope you got something out of this about repentance. Amen. All right. Well, we have callers, but no one has pressed the one key, so I can't bring anybody on. So, I'm going to play some more music here. Play Melodies from Heaven by Kirk Franklin and the Family, Unstoppable by Corinne and Hawthorne, and then Strong God by Kirk Franklin.
I am now known as Pastor Nutsack McGee. How are you doing tonight, Ken?
I'm doing great, Pastor Nutsack McGee.
What's up with the little giggle? I it's now my name. I'm joining on the crazy train you guys call life, you know? God bless, you know?
Amen.
Amen. So what do we got going? Oh, not too bad. Just been enjoying life and living day by day. What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing much. Here, just a preacher and a teacher. Okay, doing the best I can.
Oh, do we got any other callers we can bring on and have a nice little chat?
Yeah, we got. It looks like Pastor Kent is joining us. Let's bring him on
Pastor
and see what
Kent?
He has to say.
Oh, I'd love to talk to Pastor Kent.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Sorry, I got tied up with the wife, so.
Right. Pastor Kent, I hate when that happens. You know, these wives nowadays, oh, God. You know, it's cheaper to keep them, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I see all the time in my emails what's out there. A bunch of free hussies and hussies. No thanks. No.
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
No.
I don't think we were properly introduced, Pastor Kemp. This is Pastor Nutsack McGee. How you doing tonight?
I'm great, Pastor McGee. How are you?
Oh, not too shabby. Not too shabby. Just enjoying this wonderful Saturday night.
All right.
Do you have any? Absolutely. Did you have any fun plans for the night?
Nope.
No.
I find that when we make plans, God likes to mess them up.
Amen. Amen. You know, I would love, you know, to get all of us pastors in the community together and have a night out. I think that would be a fantastic idea.
Well, that would be kind of hard for me because of my record. I can't travel, so then you get a passport.
You would have to host
so
it
that's
in your
out
area.
For me. So.
Well, we can host it in your area then. I can fly everybody down over to you.
Okay.
I got money like that, Pastor.
Yeah, well, that would be kind of fun. You
kind
know,
of fun. I think that would be an amazing time. I mean, Kenny, I would love to hang out with Kenny. Kenny, you're freaking amazing. You know, I think we'd have a fun time.
Yeah, I think so too, Gober. Yeah, I mean, Pastor McGee, I think so too.
I mean, we can get Pastor Leroy. You know, I know he's around. He's a great guy. And I know you guys are always on the outs of Pastor Veal or whatever. You know, we can invite him, but give him the wrong address so he shows up to the wrong place and no one's there. You know,
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
I would. That's just the type of pastor I am.
No. Well, I don't mind fun jokes, but when it comes to pastors and ministers, I've had too many jokes played on me, Pastor, so no.
There's a time and a place for fun and games. I agree 100%, you know, but we're just trying to liven it up, you know, make everybody happy, you know. How was did you do a show tonight?
I did, yeah, earlier. My show's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I wanted to have people call in with addictions, but nobody seemed to want to call in. So,
if I knew that's what the show was tonight, I probably would have been the perfect candidate to call in for you. And you ask anybody in this community, I would have been the perfect candidate to call in.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
Kenny, you know
Pastor
it.
Ken's in that too.
Kenny knows it. Kenny knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yes, he do. Well, we got some more callers here. Let's take them and see
bring,
who
bring
we
up
have.
The callers.
111. Get on here.
Hi, y'all. Dylan Pastis.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hello, Pat. Hello, caller. Who may I ask who's calling?
This is the Reverend McGee.
No, this is Pastor Nutsack McGee. How you doing tonight?
All right, man. How you doing, Reverend McGee?
No, Pastor.
Pastor McGee. Are you in a related to Vernon McGee?
No, but I'm actually related to your mom.
Oh. Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, man, Vernon McGee, he was a great preacher. They still play him out here. Y'all know who I'm talking about?
I heard of him, Pastor McGee, but I didn't know his first name was Vernon.
Yeah, Vernon McGee, really great pastor. He's led to the Lord back in the 80s, but, man, his preaching still on the radio, and man, that is powerful.
Amen. Maybe I'll check his preaching out. I'll look
yes,
for it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Many more callers on the line.
Oh, yes, we do, sir. Let's bring them on. One. Okay, wait a minute. Let's try another one. 111, you're on air. Goodbye. 111.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, my name is Dominic Corona, and I have to admit to you pastors that I might not have done the right thing. See, my wife died about a month ago, and I sold the car this week, made about $10,000, and I spent all the money at the strip club and on prostitutes, and unfortunately, I got the dick sores like Kent Hopper. I mean, when I piss, it's burning, and I got the dick sores like Kent Hopper. What can I do about that? I don't know what to do. Can you pray for me?
Yeah, I can pray for you, but you need to go to an infectious disease clinic and get some cream for that.
Okay.
You can put some Windex on it.
Windex on it? Okay.
Yes, sir.
What does Pastor Kent put on his for his dick sores? Pastor Kent, what do you put on your dick sores? Do you put the cream on it? Maybe he used the Vaseline.
You need to go to infectious disease clinic and, get it treated, okay? Because herpes is not a good thing.
Some diapers might help you.
Oh, yeah. I'll put that ball cream on, and then I'll put my diaper on like sugar cookie. That'll make me feel better. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. 111. Okay. 111.
You are now in the host queue.
Okay. 111.
Bye.
All right. 111, you're on air. Hello?
You are now in the host queue.
Okay. Let's see. 111, you're on air.
Yeah, I had a question about Christianity from something Pastor Kent said.
Okay.
Said people who didn't believe in the Trinity aren't going to the kingdom of heaven, or anyone who rejects the Trinity. Is that correct?
That's Kent. That was directed towards you.
I never said that.
Oh, so you don't have to believe in the Trinity. You actually did say that, but... So you don't have to believe in the Trinity.
Listen to me and hear me, okay? Say that.
Okay, so is it okay not to believe in the Trinity?
You believe whatever you want. It's not, I'm not God Kent.
There is a doctrine of Christianity, and it does state that you were right originally that you have to accept the Trinity, correct? I mean, that's what you did say. You said Mormons, universal Unitarians that don't accept the Trinity aren't going to the kingdom of heaven. You said that.
No, what I said was if you don't have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell.
You know, you said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is the Trinity.
Now you're playing semantics.
No, that is, you said
no,
those three names.
I did not say that if you don't believe in the Trinity, you are going to die. I never said that. What I said was,
I didn't say the word die. I said, you said the kingdom of heaven.
If you do not have a knowledge and a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not going to heaven. It's that simple.
Right. So if you reject the Holy Ghost, you're going to heaven too, correct?
No.
So you can reject Jesus, you can reject the Holy Ghost, or you can reject the Father, and you'll still go to heaven. Is that what you're saying?
I never said none of that.
Well, you actually said all three.
Okay.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Sir, is that the road to the kingdom of heaven is believing in Jesus Christ, okay? However, the Father and the Holy Spirit, okay, are deities, okay? The Father created everything, okay? The Son fulfilled everything, and the Holy Spirit, okay, cleanses everything.
Okay, so how would you or Ken explain the Nestorian belief that Jesus is man and Jesus is God? Because that was the prevailing Christian belief before the Council of Nicaea.
Right. Well, you know, Jesus was the Son of God, okay, which makes him a Lord, okay?
Right. And the Nestorians also believed that Mary would be the ultimate God because she birthed Jesus, correct? And if Jesus was the same as God, she birthed God, so she would be as or more powerful than Jesus or the Father.
Okay.
She was actually in the Council of Nicaea. She was considered part of the original Trinity, and so was the devil, was also considered to be one of the Trinity before they decided on the Holy Ghost. So why wouldn't someone like Mary be as powerful as God if she birthed Jesus and God?
Well, Mary, see, the Catholics are a different story, okay? They believe in the Virgin Mary, okay? Whereas in normal Christianity, Mary was just a woman that birthed Jesus, okay?
Yeah, but then she birthed God, correct?
Yeah, from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, okay, and she conceived Jesus.
Right, but if Jesus is the Father and she birthed the Father and Jesus, she birthed God. That's the Nestorian belief. That was the prevailing Christianity before, like I said, the Council of Nicaea, which was about 400 years after Jesus died. So someone like Mary, Joseph, they wouldn't be inheriting the kingdom because they didn't believe in the Trinity. They didn't. That was 400 years after they died as well. Hey, Kent, do you know Jesus' brother's name?
What Jesus' brother's name, James?
Actually, it was Jesse.
Jesse, okay. I thought it was.
I just thought Kent would know that because, you know, he seems to know more about Christianity than Judaism or the pagan religions that preceded both of them.
May I interact, please?
Yeah, sure.
On the Council of Nicaea, wasn't Arminius in the Council of Nicaea?
Are you asking me or are you asking them? Why don't you ask them first so I can correct them afterwards?
Yeah.
I'm not
Pastor,
sure.
You
okay.
know who Arminius is, right? Where you all get the, a lot of Christians are Armenian, meaning not the Armenian race, but I'm talking about Arminius. You believe in his teachings.
Yeah, it was part of the Greek Orthodox Church, which was in modern-day Turkey, which was Constantinople, which was a Roman Greek state.
Amen. And didn't he
but
come
Kent,
up
you,
with
you knew
the
that,
five?
Right? I did.
You know about Christianity, Kent, right?
And
yeah, I know
didn't he have a
no, this is directed to, I think we can all learn from Kent for, because he seems to be more familiar with Christianity than Judaism or God knows what else. So, Kent, I'm hoping to learn something from you tonight. So, please inform us of something.
For one,
yeah,
I'd like
you can't fill a cup that's already full.
We went over that. You're using the same line over and over again, and
yes,
you're telling me, or you're telling yourself that you're the cup that's full, because
no,
I believe you're saying that
you're
the cup that's
because,
full.
Because no, you're saying
I don't think you're capable of learning.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for taking my inventory.
All right. Well, can you teach us something then that's useful? Instead of speaking about your past addictions. I mean, you're a so-called pastor, right?
You don't want to learn the truth. You have your beliefs.
I've spent many years trying to learn the truth. You're talking to the wrong person. I'm very receptive to whatever you could teach us.
No, you're not.
This guy don't know nothing. He's paying $10,000.
Hey, let's bring on some more callers here. Okay,
hold on a second. Kent, can you teach us something in Hebrew then? If you don't want to teach us about Christianity.
Hold on a second, fellas. Brother, is this Brother Henry?
Yes, it is.
I am proud to make your acquaintance, sir. This is Bishop Don Cornelius II, sir. I would like to applaud your knowledge. I've learned a lot from you and your few calls that you have made. I'd like to say a few things before you guys carry on your conversation any further. One, I know a brother called in a little while ago about some, I don't want to use the wrong word here, groin sores, sores that are, you know, on the private areas. I have dealt with this in the past, and the best thing you can do for it is a medication called the Valtrex. It's like Star Trek, but it's a pill. That's number one. Number two, I feel like maybe things are getting a little hostile between the brother Henry and Kent, and I just want to say, Kent, remember, this isn't a personal attack on you. He's sharing his opinion, and you seem like you're getting a little upset, and I want you to, you know, remain calm, brother. Ain't nobody judging you. Ain't nobody judging you. He's just talking to you, my man, trying to gain knowledge.
Amen. It's all about knowledge, okay? And Henry seems to be very knowledgeable, okay?
And he's very even-keeled. He's not getting upset. He's not being disrespectful. He's challenging your knowledge, and that's his right to do because you're such a, you know, you're a pastor, so you should be used to that. So I'm just trying to keep Kent, you know, on the even-keel here because I could tell he's getting a little frustrated. Okay, go ahead, Brother Henry. You may proceed, my man. Thank you for giving me that grace period, brother.
Oh, no problem. So, Ken, I'm a little confused. Would Mary and Joseph and Jesse be in heaven because they rejected the original tenets of Christianity that you believe today? In fact, they rejected all of it.
So.
They were Jews.
I believe so. I believe that... All the one like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, okay, Joseph, okay, David, Isaiah, Joshua, okay, Daniel, all the people in the Bible in the past, okay, are in heaven. Yes, I believe that.
Kent, what do you think, sir?
Like I said, you cannot fill a cup that's already full. He has his opinion, and he's allowed to that.
I'm actually asking your opinion.
No, yes, you're not. You're not.
Kent, he's asking your opinion.
No.
He just wants to know what you think.
No, he's not. He has his opinion.
I actually am. I mean, you've made comments that Christianity hasn't changed in 2,000 years, and I'm telling you it definitely has.
Well, see, then again, you're saying I said something that I didn't say.
You actually said that many a time. It hasn't changed. The word has gone down for 200 years, generation to generation, and the word of the Bible was never changed, even though it wasn't written down by word. It managed to, you know, it managed to remain the same. You've made a lot of comments. I'm asking you to back those up, please.
You don't want to hear.
I'm
have your opinion, and you judged me.
I'm begging for your. I'm begging for your opinion.
You're not. You want to twist my words and manipulate them. So, no, I am not getting into a debate.
So, are you still contending that Christianity has not changed for 2,000 years?
Again, I will reiterate what I said. I never said that.
What did you say? Okay, so Christianity 2,000 years ago is not the same Christianity as today. You would agree with that statement?
Well, duh.
Ken,
duh
is
not an answer.
Don't need to be condescending, man. Nobody's being condescending.
Yeah, why would I not be condescending? Because this guy is manipulating.
He asked you a question, brother.
No, he
I'm
didn't.
I'm asking you a simple question.
No,
you claim to be a theologian.
Not.
I'm asking from one theologian to another.
No,
man, them $10,000 are being put to use. Whoa.
You have your beliefs, and you don't want to hear anything else.
Oh my God.
I don't have beliefs. I have facts. So we can argue about beliefs if you want, but facts can't change. You can't say that things were changed by Constantine the Great or the Council of Nicaea.
Can I ask Kenny a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to know, have you heard anything that Brother Henry said that was disrespectful or condescending? He's simply asking a question. I don't understand why Kenny's taking this.
I haven't heard. Okay, it may be the way Pastor Ken is perceiving it. I don't know. Well, okay?
He's just asking
this is all
Kenny,
a theological discussion, so I think everybody should get involved in it. Okay?
I agree. And my thing with Brother Henry is he's always very respectful, and he's essentially begging Kent just to answer his theological question, and Kent won't answer it because he doesn't think he cares. That's in his head. If he didn't care, he wouldn't ask. I don't understand it. I just don't understand. He's a pastor. Why would he have such a hard time answering a question? I don't understand it. I don't get it. He's not trying to judge you, man.
Doesn't the Bible say my people die for the lack of knowledge?
Yes, it does.
We're trying to learn, brother Kent. Can you? I mean, I want to. Even if he doesn't want to hear your opinion, I do. I do want to hear your opinion, but he said he did too. So can we get
me
you?
Me too. It's a great discussion. Let's talk about it. Come on, Pastor Kent.
Hello?
Hello?
Did he leave? Kenny, did he leave?
Not that I can see. He's still here.
I have another question. I mean, Kent has said many times that we have the same gospels today as we did during Jesus' time, but he doesn't seem to remember, like, the gospel of Thomas, the gospel of Judas, many other gospels that were thrown away. He's denied that they even existed, even though we have copies of them today. And the Coptic Christians still have them.
There was plenty of other gospels. There was. They were just deleted because they somehow or another didn't line up.
They didn't jive with the ones that we have today, but Kent has said many a times that they never existed.
No, they're like I said. I think a total of 17 gospels.
Correct. Well, why don't you ordain this man? So maybe you should inform him that there are multiple gospels.
Yeah. Well, like I said, okay. We all have our view on things. Okay, Pastor Kent just left us. Sorry to say.
Kenny, I'm pissed.
Four for four.
What I'm talking about? Do you see what I'm talking about? He was nothing but respectful. We all were. I was trying so hard. I actually tried to keep him on the panel because I wanted to hear what he had to say, and he ran anyway. There was nothing. There was no vulgarity. He didn't call him any names. He wasn't condescending. He wasn't disrespectful. If anything, Kent was condescending to Brother Henry, which is uncalled for. Duh.
Condescending.
You see what I'm saying? You see why people don't like Kent sometimes? Because he's a baby. I mean, that's all he is.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I like Pastor Kent like a brother, okay? I wish him the best, okay? I just hope that, okay, in the future, he can discuss knowledgeable things, okay?
Kenny,
I gotta admit, I don't know everything that Henry does. Okay,
and,
I admit it.
No,
okay.
And Kenny, that's the thing. It's okay to not know. That's the thing I'm saying to Kent. It's okay not
Amen.
To know everything. It's okay not to be perfect. But the problem is,
Amen.
You come on the panel and then you don't answer any questions. Then why are you on the panel?
Yeah, that's right. I agree with DC too.
Yeah,
and he kept
saying
that thing about cups. What does that even mean? I didn't even understand what that meant. Henry, do you know what he was talking about with the cup being too full or whatever? Does that have some meaning?
I think he was trying to say is his cup is actually overfilled and he can't retain anything else, but he's projecting that on me. That's number one. But for the first time tonight, I just want to give my opinion. I mean, I was spouting out some facts. The reason why Kent can't argue any of this is because he can't admit that he doesn't know anything about it.
Amen.
I agree with him.
He doesn't have an answer. And just like a boy with a micro penis who doesn't want to shower in a public shower in high school, he is just avoiding this.
Henry, do you know the gospel of probation?
No, I'm not aware of that. Gospel of probation.
Yeah, the gospel of probation. Oh, okay. That's all right.
The gospels have a name. All the gospels that we know of from the Coptic Christians and the Dead Sea Scrolls.
The doctrine of probation.
That's a Catholic doctrine.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Kenny. I think you should have a rule for Kent, and that rule is if you're going to be on panel as a pastor, you have to answer the questions of the callers to the best of your ability, and if you're not going to answer the questions or you can't answer the questions, say, I don't know the answer to that question. I think that should be a rule that's implemented immediately because I don't think you should have people that are pastors or people that are of the cloth on your show. Just he's grifting off. Somebody said he's grifting off your show. Essentially, he is, because he doesn't give anything of substance. Even when we try, he just sits there and acts like he's 5 years old and he wants his binky. That's all he does. It's so frustrating because this guy is versed, and if you're versed too, you should be able to hold a conversation and answer a question or two. And I just when you are on and Henry asks you a question, you answer it because you're a pastor, right? And if you don't know the answer, you say, I don't know the answer. Kent can't do that.
Yeah, I mean,
can you make that rule
like
for him?
I can't answer for Kent, okay?
No, but can you make that rule for him that he at least should have to answer some questions that a godly man should be able to answer or say he doesn't know?
I'll bring
it up. He's using you, Kenny. He's just using you to try to get people to listen to his show.
I got some more callers here. Okay.
Goodbye.
Okay. Try another one here.
Hey, Ken, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Doing all right. How's everybody doing?
Oh, nope. I'm good, brother. I'm good. All right.
What's up, DC?
What's up, brother? I was really enjoying listening to Brother Henry. I think he should call more often. He's very knowledgeable.
Oh, he's dope, man.
He's very knowledgeable, and he doesn't keep it to himself. He's very open with his intelligence and what he knows. And I appreciate that very much, because there's another pastor who came on the show who's a grifter and didn't answer any questions and just acted like a 5-year-old toddler.
Yeah, man. Hey, Henry, are you still there? Is he still there?
I don't know. I had a couple callers drop. He might have dropped.
Oh, okay. He's very, like, knowledgeable. He kind of reminds me of Higgins, man. He kind of reminds me of Higgins. He's really, really smart, man.
Yeah, he kind of
does.
Yeah,
we got
some
more callers here. Let's bring them on. One. Okay. Try another one. Okay, let's try another one.
Bye.
One. You're on here.
Is that a little kid? I heard a little kid in the back.
I don't know what that was.
That was a child, Kenny.
Well,
it's like one of them Ugandan children that you helped so much. Amen.
Well, anyway, we got another caller here. Let's see who we have. 111, you're on here. Okay. All right.
It sounds like some African music.
So, Kenny, before you wrap the show up, can I mean, will you even consider what I said? Like, with Kent, I know you feel sorry for him, and I get it. Like, he's down on his luck and all that. But it doesn't give him the right to be condescending to your callers. You're doing him a favor by allowing him to come on your show. And quite frankly, this is just my opinion, I think he's using your show to try to get more listeners, because no one listens to that dog shit show he does. So I think the least he can do is, when somebody as intelligent as Brother Henry calls in, the least he can do is either answer the question, not with his, you know, with his little riddles and limericks and shit about being half full or full or whatever that was, but with real answers and real knowledge, or say he doesn't understand. I don't think that's too much to ask of him if he's a real pastor, and I certainly don't think the people that are listening would disagree with what I'm saying.
All right. I agree. I agree with you too. I will talk to him. Okay. See if I can
Thank
get him
you.
To understand, okay?
And please Kenny, please tell him it's not personal. It is not personal. This isn't, you know, Henry versus Kent. It's a theological discussion. That's a good thing.
Yeah, which I love to have. I love to have theological discussion, especially
Amen.
With someone as knowledgeable as Henry.
I totally agree. I mean, a healthy discussion about anything, most of the time, when it can be had by adults without allowing emotions to get involved, is always a good thing, because people build on their knowledge base. One person learns something that the other person provides, and vice versa. So I just don't think it's beneficial for somebody to come up on this panel as a pastor and not provide any level of you know, knowledge. I just don't agree with that. You provide something. Henry provides something. Obviously, I'm not as schooled in any of that as you brothers are, but to listen and learn, and that's what this show is
Amen.
For. So
yeah,
I hope that
I agree.
You'll take that into
account.
Amen, Kenny. Thank you for having me on, brother. I appreciate it. Sorry if I talk too much.
No, it's all right, DC. You're always welcome here. You're always welcome.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate all the callers, too. I thought, Henry is really intelligent. I like him a lot. He brings a lot to the show. And then the other pastors that called in, and also the brother with the penis sores. I don't know if that was a real call or not, but I gave him a real answer. And then, of course, Beanie.
All right. Well, we got another call here. Let's take it and see where we're at. We got a couple minutes left. Okay. Okay, well, that's all the calls. I'm going to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama, and his kinfolk. Give a shout-out to DC2, okay, Brother Henry, Pastor Kent, okay, Ashley, Mike Hunt, okay, Johnny Ferrar, Gavin Moorhead. God bless you all. We're going to have a good show, okay, again tomorrow. Okay, so hope to see everybody there. Okay, God bless.
Thank you, Kenny.
You're welcome.